I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 520 for Sunday, July 23rd, 2017 are Darcy McKillop.
Evening all.
Paul Lawson.
Good evening, everybody.
And completing our tri-national panel, Josh Schusterman.
How's it going?
Well, tonight we are gathering people from around the globe to talk about, you know, we called this long-term Disney vacation planning, and I don't even know that that's a good title for it. I'm not sure what is. The show topic came from a listener when we asked for suggestions for show topics. Somebody, I think maybe facetiously said, you know, why don't you talk about those of us who don't get to go every year? But I thought that was a great suggestion. So that's what we're going to work on tonight and kind of address how you deal with those longer stretches between Disney vacations, because we're all big fans and, you know, there's some blessing and curse involved in having plenty of time to plan. But before we get too far into that discussion, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. Guys, you know, you all stepped up and volunteered to be on this panel because you've had some experience with longer stretches of time between trips. Josh, you've been able to travel a little more frequently lately now that you're back on the mainland, but it was a while for the, you know, there between trips for you just a year or two ago, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, we've been able to make it once a year since 2013, but my very first trip, we went in 2006, and then we didn't make it again until 2013. Now, it wasn't for lack of trying, but when you throw in a couple of kids into the mix, you know, each one that comes along, it kind of pushes the trip out a little bit further because, you know, that you don't want to go when they're like newborns. You kind of want to, you know, wait a little bit until they're able to kind of, you know, they require a little less, you know, attention.
A little less high maintenance.
Right. And then, you know, that coupled with, you know, getting bounced around the country, getting sent to that horrible island in the Pacific.
And yeah, such a tragedy, forced to live in Hawaii.
Yeah, it'd be rough.
But I mean that kind of, you know, it delayed. You know, we had a few trips that we had planned that would get, you know, rescheduled or derailed, and then, you know, it was when we were in Hawaii that we were finally able to, you know, get everything settled down and get over there. And that was our 2013 trip. So,
Okay. So it was at one point, you know, a 7-year block of time. And it's not like you weren't considering it, thinking about it, wanting to go back. It's just life got in the way and that happens. You know, Darcy, I think, you know, you had some similar experience in terms of just sort of life getting in the way of getting back to Disney. You know, other things cropped up.
Yeah. And we were almost, I think, the opposite of Josh's history, I guess, of going to Disney. We started going in 2004 and went every year until 2011, except 2006. And then seemed to, at least one of us decided that maybe another form of vacationing would be nice to try for a while. We got into a bit of doing some cruises at that point. But we still managed to get back to Disney, I think, roughly every 2 years. But it did seem like we, at least for me, that we had hit a long stretch where we weren't going that very often. But we did go in 2013, 15, and 17. But for the life of me, I I couldn't remember that we had actually gone in 2013.
Okay.
I have the pictures to prove that we were there, but when we started looking at, you know, we hadn't been back for a while, that trip just for some reason wasn't registering with me, but yeah, we did go for a bit, and for myself, I got a couple of single day trips in that time period while I was in Florida for other reasons. But certainly not the same as planning a trip and, you know, especially if staying on one of the Disney resorts.
Right. And being there with family and doing the whole, you know, family Walt Disney World trip thing. It's a different experience than, you know, stopping by for a day on your own.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a couple of the, or one of the day trips that I did have my father-in-law with me, and that was his first experience at Disney, and kind of got him hooked a little bit on doing it. Now he's never gone to stay. They went kind of winter in the area, so they've done some day trips over to see some of the parks. But the other one, I was at Epcot by myself, and it is quite different wandering around there by yourself. And like I say, not being with family. So it was nice when we finally decided that this past March we were going back as a family and spent our March break there.
So, you know, Darcy kind of fell into an every other year pattern that's somewhat similar to Paul's pattern. You know, your situation is maybe a little bit different because, you know, you plan your trips so far out for a couple of reasons. One is that, the trips themselves are longer because you travel so much farther than the rest of us.
Basically, yeah, because I mean, we started in '95 as the famous once in a lifetime. We're not going back again after this, so let's enjoy it.
Famous last words.
Yeah, exactly. And then we didn't go for 8 years. We went '95 and then didn't go again to 2003. But then, yeah, we've pretty much gone every couple of years since. Occasionally we stick to 3 years after that, but we do the same thing as what Darcy was saying. You know, perhaps it's about time we looked at a different style of holiday, and so we start looking at that kind of holiday and starting to think about planning it, and then the next thing you know, you're on the Disney website having a look on there, and the next thing is, oh look, there's free dining come up, so come on, we can't pass up free dining anymore, so let's get ourselves back there again. So yeah, we're about every couple of years now.
All right. And, you know, I've had some, you know, similar experiences. I mean, I get back pretty often. You know, doing the travel gig gets me back. I've gone back, so I'm in the area for training a couple of times. And, you know, I do try to get back for the Diz Dad's Club convention. But even that's a little different than, you know, going with my family. And we've had a couple of stretches where just, you know, things come up. And even though we want to get back, kids' schedules get in the way, our work schedules get in the way, life gets in the way. And you know, we still get there every couple of years, but if you look at it, it's really almost 3 years because, you know, one trip was at the beginning of 1 year and the return trip is at the end of the next year. And so, you know, it's like 25 months apart or whatever, right? You get about as far apart as you can and still be within a 2 year period. I guess not quite, couldn't get to 25 months, but you could get close. And I think that there is a different approach that you end up with when there's more time between trips. Some of it is just a function of the fact that things keep changing, right? Nothing stands still at Walt Disney World. So when there's a little more time between trips, I think that there's a little bit more sort of hyper awareness of things that are changing, right? Because you know it may be a while before you get back to it. Can you guys think of some things maybe that were examples of, you know, either things that you know, you wanted to get back to see and you were afraid were going to be gone before you could get back, or things that you were eagerly anticipating?
I think for us, this last trip that we did in March, while we were planning the trip, it was announced that Wishes was ending. Right, and they're right. changing the show. And so for us, that became a big thing to make sure that, you know, or thinking that we did have a trip planned, so we were going to get to see Wishes before it ended. And Wishes is, you know, one of the best of their nighttime shows, or at least one of the most emotional of their nighttime shows, as far as tying into, you know, growing up or what we saw growing up, that things like that are important. Like you want to get back to see that. On the other hand, we spend some days in March at Hollywood Studios and, you know, half the park is closed because of the construction, which makes you think, okay, yeah, I know it's going to be a couple of years before I can come back, but now I want to come back because I want to see what this looks like.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I think to kind of piggyback on that, not so much knowing things that are leaving, because I mean, sometimes like when I had that big gap, between 06 and 2013, there were things that went away during that we were kind of looking forward to when we first started planning, and then they announced, oh, it's gone. Like the big one for me was Spectrum Magic. I really loved it when we saw it in 2006, and then I think it was shortly after that it was gone. And then, you know, it was supposed to be a temporary thing, it'd be coming back, and then it never came back, and we all know how that turned out. But I think for us, what kind of really changed, you know, what more so what we would look forward to is when new things came in. Because when we got back in 2013, New Fantasyland had just been completed, or at least most of it. I think all but like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was open at that point when we went in September of that year. And so, I mean, that changed the landscape completely for us from when we were there the first time. I mean, Dumbo was still right next to the castle, and like, you know, the whole, Toontown was still there and all of that. And then we go back in 2013, and all of a sudden there's two Dumbos, and there are, right. back where Toontown was. And that's all like this whole storybook circus thing. And it's, you know,
situation is almost like, you know, the poster child for, you know, the perfect way for that to work out. Right. Because you got the, you know, trip A, and you got to enjoy Toontown and that version of the Magic Kingdom. And then by the time you got back, sure, Toontown was gone, but New Fantasyland had opened.
Right. So, you know, I don't think that there was anything when we went that year that we knew was leaving and we had to like get to it before it was gone. But it was more so that we were very excited to see, because, you know, obviously, you know, my wife and I, we went in 2006, we didn't have any kids, Sure. And so this was our big, like, you know, we had our three kids in the meantime, and our youngest was, you know, 3 years old. So like just the perfect age to really start, you know, understanding and enjoying everything. And so it was kind of like our chance to say, hey, you know, when we were here, we did this and this and this, and they're excited for that. But then there's also like, we're excited because there's all this new stuff that wasn't there when we were there. And so they kind of feed off of our excitement onto that too. And it was just like, you know, it was a lot of things to look forward to. And I think, you know, that kind of, you know, changed the way we plan, because, you know, before they started announcing, you know, what was happening, we kind of said, okay, well, when we finally do go, you know, we'll be able to do this, and we'll be able to spend some time here and see that and see that. And then they start announcing, this is what's coming soon. And then you start looking at, you know, your dates on when you're going, and you realize that you're going to be there after that stuff opens. So then you start thinking, well, we're going to have to make sure we have time to get into that and to see that. So, you know, you start kind of planning to hit the new stuff first, you know, depending on what it is. I mean, if you're somebody who it's been a while since you've been there and you're going this year, and now there's, you know, Pandora is open now. So, I mean, even that, from the time we went last year to the time we went this year, yes, it had been like 13 months, but so much changed in that 13 months even. You know, Pandora opened up, Elena started meeting, Frozen Ever After opened up. You have the new fireworks show in Magic Kingdom, because we had gotten there shortly after that. Rivers of Light finally opened. So, you know, you've got all this stuff that was new for us, even in, you know, that short period of time. So, you know, and we definitely planned this trip around that stuff that was opening, because we knew we would be there the weekend that Pandora opened. So we made sure that our Animal Kingdom day was one of the days after Pandora would be open, so that we can get into that. And then, you know, we made sure that we had fast passes for Frozen and for Rivers of Light and stuff that we hadn't done before. And so that definitely affected our planning on that one.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Paul, you ever find yourself doing that when you've got those 18 months to plan, and you ever find yourself, you know, second guessing your trip dates and thinking, you know, well, maybe we need to push back a week because this is going to be there, or that won't be open yet?
Definitely. And for such a long time as well, every trip seemed to be that it was always something new was opening. So what you were saying before about Fantasyland opening and everything, and we seem to have been hitting Walt Disney World around about the same time. So with the Fantasyland open, and but not quite in time for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And then when we were back in 2015, Seven Dwarfs was open, so that was a big excitement there, and everything else. It just seems to be that everything was always a great, that's going to be open now, we're going to get to enjoy it and everything else. It's just now there is such a lot of stuff that is opening now. As you say, Pandora, we've got Toy Story Land, Star Wars Land and everything coming open. But this is the first time, I think, that we've had a couple of things when we go this time that aren't going to be there that we really enjoy. Because, I mean, everybody enjoys Wishes. And that is going to be a big thing for us, because we weren't expecting that to go, God, to be honest with you.
Right, so you didn't actually get to do a sort of, yes, it was your last time to see Wishes, but you didn't get, it wasn't a farewell viewing of the show.
Exactly. And the thing, to be honest, I've seen video of the new show, and I'm pleasantly surprised how good they've actually upgraded the show and everything. So it's a sort of bittersweet, yeah. It's you know, it's sad to see Wishes go, but however, really looking forward to seeing the new show. But for me as well, one of the big ones that we thought we were losing before, which was Reprieved, was Disney Quest. And I think but now gone again, and this time obviously gone fully, because the thing is, when you, the kind of ticket that we get in the UK, and the amount of time that we go for, means that we perhaps actually go more often to attractions like this than perhaps a lot of you know, the you guys over there get to see, because sometimes you guys get to go for, like, say 4 or 5 days, and Disney Quest might not have time to be sort of put in there, kind of thing, whereas we have the luxury of 14 plus days, and so we do have those sort of lazy days in downtown Disney, as it was, where, you know, we'll go around a little while and then nip into Disney Quest for a couple of hours just to sort of enjoy the air conditioning and sure, and fix that up more than anything else, you know. So definitely this time round is going to be a more of a shock for what has gone, and less of a, not less of, because there's so much great new stuff that we haven't seen, that, like, again, Pandora and everything else there, and what's coming out. But this time there will be things that will say, well, last time we came, we were doing this, which we're not able to do anymore.
Sure. Yeah. Now, I think that one of the things that you mention, not directly, but maybe a little indirectly, when you talk about the fact that you know, you're getting to travel maybe every 18 months to 2 years. And, you know, because of this UK offer, you almost always when you come are doing the free dining offer. And it occurs to me that one of those things about having more time between trips, you know, I always tell people, if you're planning your first trip, you haven't gone before, ideally you want to give yourself a full 6 months in advance, at least, to plan that first trip, right? Because, you know, everybody wants your first shot at dining reservations and things like that, especially if you've got kids who are, you know, in that prime, you know, age for princesses, and you need to, you know, get that Cinderella's Royal Table reservation or Be Our Guest restaurant reservation, and so you really need the full 6 months. And I remember planning for our first trip, I had probably almost close to 18 months. Because, you know, we were going to do it right. Like Paul was saying, this was going to be the once in a lifetime, right? So if we're going to do it once, we're going to do it right. And so we spent plenty of time prepping. And it occurs to me that, you know, we say that all the time, that you want to have that 6 month advance window. At what point does having, you know, 12 months to plan instead of 6 months to plan actually start to be problematic instead of helpful? I'm curious is whether you guys have that same sense that I do, that there's probably a point at which it's almost more harmful than helpful.
Yeah, I can see that. Our very first trip, we weren't really involved in the planning process that much, or really at all. I was fortunate enough, my parents, they had been saving for a while, and it wasn't until I was, you know, like 20 years old that they finally were able to take us all to Disney World. But, you know, they were able to do that eventually. And, you know, we were definitely grateful for that, but we weren't involved in the planning process. And there's a lot of things that I would have done differently. And especially now with the experience that I've had, and the expertise that I've gained over the years, definitely a lot of things that I would have done differently. I'd say we did more in 2013 in 4 days than we did in 6 days in 2006. But that being said, you know, back to the you know, the long-term planning, we kind of are at that about 12, 13, 14 months between trips at this point. You know, even though we try to go like every calendar year, it usually works out to be, you know, we go, you know, like in April, and then we might go in like September, we try to go in May. I mean, we try to keep it, for me, you know, anything beyond like a year just seems so far away. And it's like, oh man, it's like, it's terrible.
Oh, but so that's one piece of it. Sure, the anticipation is harder when it's that far out.
The anticipation is definitely a lot harder when it's that far out. And then yeah, I mean, you start looking at, you know, places that you want to eat. And obviously, one day you feel, okay, well, we're going to go to these places. And then when you get to the six-month mark and it's time to actually make the ADRs, you're looking at it and you're like, why did I want to go there? You know? And so, I mean, decisions that you made 6 months prior, you're looking at it when it comes time to actually make the reservations, and you're like, and it even comes into play in the resorts. You know, when you're looking that far out, you're looking at, well, I think I would do this, or I think our financial situation is going to be such that we'll be able to do this. And then it gets a little closer, and, you know, you had to put new tires on the car, or you had, you know, to fix a leaky roof, or you
right.
had this.
And anymore, those bills aren't just, oh man, we got to replace the roof. It's, oh man, there goes club level. Oh man.
Right, exactly.
There goes deluxe dining.
Yeah. So when you're looking at, you know, 12, 13, 14 months out, you're saying to yourself, you know what? We start putting away now. And we can definitely do, you know, the Poly Club level theme park view, you know, like all these crazy. And you start talking crazy, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do 7 day park hopper with the, you know, water parks finally, and all this other stuff. And we're going to do all this, and we're going to, and it's going to be great. And then you start getting down to it, and yeah, all these things come up, or the kids are, oh, hey, you know what? I want to play hockey. And so you look at hockey registration. Okay, well, that's this much. And then, oh, they need all this gear, so that's this much. And or, oh, they outgrew all this stuff, so now we got to get all new stuff. And so you start getting closer, and you start realizing that you're not able to put away as much as you had hoped originally. And so, you know, you start looking at, you know, alternatives. You know, downgrade, you know, maybe you can downgrade, just get rid of the club level, or maybe just, you know, get rid of the view selection. And then it turns into, okay, well, we can do a moderate, we can cut back on the days. I know this last trip, and Aaron, you really helped me out with this. We were looking at going for, what was it, 6 or 7 days in June.
Right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you have a schedule conflict, and, you know, now you got to move the vacation, and it changes all kinds of dynamics.
Exactly. We had to bump it up in time. We had to trim it down in length. And those are the kind of changes that come into play when you're planning that far out, because, you know, when you're looking far out, your plans aren't as solidified. So, you know, you're able to kind of shoot the moon there a bit with your planning.
Sure.
And then as it gets closer, you know, you have to make adjustments. And I think that's really the biggest way that planning that far out can be, you know, kind of detrimental to the process, because, you know, you kind of get your hopes up to a certain level. And then, you know, you got to bring them down a little bit and, you know, realize that you're still able to go, you know, you still have a great time, but it's just not the
maybe you were a little overambitious.
Exactly. So, you know, that's kind of, I guess in our experience, how it's been. And obviously the further out you start planning, the more it's going to change, you know, as it gets closer.
And you know, that's the issue. It can be the issue sort of on your side, right? On, you know, our personal side, things in our lives change. But, you know, I was almost thinking more about the way things on, you know, Disney's side change. I mean, I don't know, Paul, have you found yourself in the position of, you know, you're looking at that trip that's going to be 11 months down the road, and you're trying to figure out what that, you know, dining plan, how you're going to use that dining plan, and you make your plans, and, you know, you're probably at that point, you're working at best off of sort of estimated park hours, right? Because the official park hours don't get released until 6 months in advance, the same day, right? Not so coincidentally that your dining window opens.
Exactly.
So yeah. Those come out 6 months in advance, right as you're supposed to be making your dining reservations. And then they continue to change.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is as well, I mean, we tend to be just at about the 500 day mark when we book, because we do tend to, we're almost creatures of habit, to be fair. So we tend to like to go for food and wine. So we tend to go September, October, kind of thing. And the free dining, which we always go for, because it's such a saving for us, the free dining comes out over here around about the sort of end of March, beginning of April time. So we've usually got about the 500 day mark. And I don't know any other situation where you would be planning a specific day 500 days in advance what you are going to be eating on that day. Any situation, you know what I mean, where you would think even that, but and yet you do, and I'm sure your guys are the same. You know, as soon as it's booked, that's it. The flip chart comes out. We start drawing graphs and everything gets sorted out. So usually 500 days we book in the holiday. By 495, we've got every single aspect of the holiday planned out. And then that is just, as you say, then just constantly changes. A new restaurant will come along that you weren't aware of, and say, "So yeah, we'll give that a try." But then, which one do we lose? You know, we've got our favourites. So, and again, force of habit, it's always got to be Chef Mickey's on day one. Now, new one, it's always got to be our guest when we do a sit down meal in Magic Kingdom, for example, and so but we've got these new restaurants coming along. So what do we take away? So yeah, it's very much a developing constantly of what going to do.
And you know, something you just said sort of struck me as being especially significant when you're really only getting to take one of these trips, you know, every 18 months, every 2 years. And that is that those choices about what you're giving up and, you know, what you're going to try this time, I think that they maybe have a little bit of sort of heightened stress about them, you know, because they matter more. It's not just if we don't do it this time, well, we'll be back there in 6 months. It's if we don't do it this time, you know, first of all, it's going to be a couple of years. And knowing the way things work at Disney, maybe it's there, maybe it's not. You know, Darcy, have you ever had something happen to you like that, where there was something that you booked way out in advance and it just dissipated in front of your eyes?
We did, but we're kind of talking there a little bit about, you know, restaurants, but for us, it wasn't a restaurant, it was a resort.
Oh, okay.
And the resort didn't disappear, obviously, but I can't remember which trip. It would have been around like 2007, 2009, somewhere in there. We had booked for us, I guess we're sort of like Paul, where we book a long ways out, not 500 days. We're usually, you know, anywhere from 9 to 12 months out when we book, and we're kind of tied to when we can go because my wife's a teacher. So that usually means we don't want to go at Christmas time usually, because that's too busy and too expensive in a lot of cases. So for us, it'd be our March break, which is the first week of March, or the summertime. So, you know, we're looking at planning a long ways out. So we decided to go in one summer, and we did a 10-day trip and did a split stay with Pop Century and Animal Kingdom. Okay. And that was back in the day when, especially if you were traveling at that point in time, I think we had gone 3 or 4 years. So, you know, you're getting those emails from Disney saying, you know, here's a discount coupon or you know, different things like that.
I'm sure the pin codes were flying fast and furious.
Pin codes, yeah. So we ended up with a pin code for like 40% off room rates. So we booked 2 or 3 nights at Animal Kingdom with a Savannah View room to finish our stay. And it just so happened that I think their trip was in August. Well, that spring or that early, late winter, they had started building their new DVC property at Animal Kingdom. And people had started complaining, saying, you know, it's noisy and, you know, the animals are not around because of the noise and the construction. So Disney decided they were going to start proactively moving people to other resorts to I guess, cut down on their complaints. And we found out about that, and we knew that they were kind of going through a process of, you know, of depending on when your reservation was, when they were contacting you. And the person that we were using as our agent, we contacted them and said, you know, we're hearing about this. And part of the reason we get to hear about this stuff is because of, all the online stuff that you pick up after you've been to Disney for a few times, I guess, sure. Like the Disc Boards or the Disc Dads and stuff like that. So, said, our understanding is they're trying to move people mostly to Saratoga Springs, which is a smart move on Disney's part because they're moving you into a DVC property. They're going to try and sell you on it by being there. But we said, we don't want to go there. That's not where we want to be. We found it at least to be kind of out of the way, and we wanted to be more central. So we said, we want to go to the Pali if they asked us to move. And they did ask us to move, and we ended up at Pali, but actually ended up being upgraded into club level. So even though we lost out on the piece that we booked and wanted to do, and we've never gone back to do that again yet, we still ended up with a pretty good perk out of it.
Yeah, I don't think
that's such a shame.
Yeah, I don't think I can commiserate with any complaints there.
But the problem is, we want to go back to the Pali, but how do you swing club level for a week?
Tell me about it. I mean, it's funny you mention it, because we actually had a fairly similar experience, not quite the same, but, you know, it was supposed to be that once in a lifetime trip. And so we really did pull out the stops, and we had booked ourselves at the Poly. And then after we booked ourselves, we got one of those great pin codes that was like this, you know, I don't remember. It was either a 35% or it might've even been the days of the 40% offers. So it was this huge discount. And once you applied the discount, we could upgrade to club level, and save money from the standard room we already had booked. It's like, okay, twist my arm.
Yeah, those PIN codes were fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, we did that upgrade and it was fantastic and it got us hooked and we've been back and, you know, we haven't stayed at the Poly again. We've stayed a lot of great places. And we'd love to go back, especially since they've done some renovations at the Polynesian, but, it does, you know, skew things. It affects your plans. I mean, if we had booked that trip closer, I don't know that we would have, and I'm pretty sure we moved the reservation once before we moved up to club level. Likely we moved to the Poly because there was a deal to get us into the Poly in the first place. And then the even better deal came. It's a little hazy now because it's been a while, but, you know, it just, the longer you out, the more you are out, the more those things change. And I noticed it happening to us with, fireworks show schedules, right? I mean, you plan a part of your vacation around a particular moment, right? Something that is important to you. And then it ends up either not happening or not happening when you expected it to happen. So, you know, this last trip was a special celebration trip for my daughter. It was a birthday, you know, bat mitzvah thing. And the one thing she really wanted as her kind of special thing for this trip was to do the dessert party for the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular Fireworks. And there were like 3 days of the trip that kind of got built around the fact that we needed to be in Hollywood Studios on the day that the party was being done and, you know, kind of everything had to fit. And we're waiting for those to open up because those don't go on sale always right when everything else does at 180 days. And at 120 days, it wasn't out yet. And at 90 days, it wasn't out yet. And I'm starting to panic because this is the one thing she wanted that was supposed to be important. And then they finally released dates. And sure enough, you know, the day that we had built the rest of the trip around wasn't going to happen that day. It wasn't available.
Yeah, that's, I think, part of the frustrating piece of planning with Disney. Depending on the time of the year you go, like say our last trip was in March, so you know you're going to have shorter park hour days at that time of the year than if you were traveling in June or July or August. And you see those things like you mentioned Star Wars Galactic show. When we first started planning the trip, they weren't even scheduled to, I think, even happen in March.
Yep.
And then they started added it, I think, for one day. And I said, okay, well, here's a day we need to get here. But we also need to get here and we need to get here. And then as we got closer, they added another day. But I think by the time we got there, it was being shown every day we were there.
Right, but you'd already shuffled your plans three times around the partial schedule.
Yeah. And so, yeah, you're looking at all those things to match things up. And Paul mentioned on their trips, a lot of times when they, you know, they travel for free dining. And we haven't done free dining in a while. It doesn't get offered to us as much as it does to the UK people. But the one time where we've actually stopped using the full dining plan now, because we did find that our planning then became, where are we eating and not what park are we going to? It's, we want to eat at these restaurants. We're there for 7 days. So we have 7 table service credits each. So we need 7 restaurants. And then
and
the
that
planning
begins
became,
driving your planning.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you want to use those for breakfast, because then it's like, okay, we want to be at Crystal Palace for breakfast, but we want it at 8 a.m. So we're in the park before it opens. Or we want it earlier than that if that happens to be an extra magic hour morning. So you're like, say
right,
earlier,
and now that's an extra magic hour morning. So you want to be in there at 7 or 7:15. And does that mean that you can't do the fireworks the night before that aren't going to go off until 10?
Yeah, we always had that discussion, but usually when we got there, it was like, screw it. We're going to the fire.
Of course. all right. Well,
I think,
go ahead.
Sorry. I think kind of playing on off of that, you know, when you start planning around your meals and like where you're going to be, like what park you're going to be in, especially when the fact that, you know, you do all that at 180. Well, a lot of times they don't have their extra magic hours set yet at that point. And because I know, like, we've had issues where, like, because we do the dining plan, we set our meals, and then we plan on, you know, everything else around that, because that's the only way you can really do it. And so we know, like, okay, well, this day we're going to be in Epcot. Well, you know, later on down the line, we find out that that's like the shortest day for Epcot that week. And so, yep. and then we look at it and we're like, well, do we really only want 10 hours? Because we're kind of insane. You know, we're open to close commandos.
Not you.
We're open to close commandos. I mean, as much as we always say that we're going to go back to the resort, we're going to rest, we're going to hit the pool, we're going to do all this other stuff, I think we've done that once. Like, we always wind up, we're there for rope drop. We're there until it closes. We get back to the room.
Look at this.
We crash. And then 4 hours later, the alarm goes off for the next day. And I mean, I'm glad that the kids are able to do that. You know, and it, part of me kind of, you know, I think I would prefer to sleep sometimes. Like, you know, my body says sleep.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Josh, I'll give you a lot of credit, but looking around at this panel here, I'm fairly certain that, you know, you're the spring chicken of the group. And
exactly what you tried to say there.
Seriously. What I'm saying is that you know, I could probably function and do that, you know, springing up at rope drop again on 4 hours of sleep for a couple of days. I don't think I can do that for a week anymore.
You know, they said that once I got into my 30s that I wouldn't be able to do that kind of stuff anymore, but here I am still going. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, my body says, you know, stop, you idiot, you need to sleep. But my brain, I just, like, I guess I run off of pure adrenaline. And I mean, my kids, like, we've been strollerless for the past 3 years, 4 years. And I mean, we stop, you know, we're in the parks, we stop at a bench and we sit and we have a snack and we do this and we do that. But I mean, nobody's complaining. Nobody's, you know, passing out on the street during the parade or during the fireworks or anything. Like,
I mean, tried that once.
Everybody's going fine. And, you know, so I guess what I'm getting around to saying is, like, we look for the long hours. You know, because we maximize our time. I mean, even though, I mean, now being in North Carolina, we're 11 hours away, you know, so, I mean, we can definitely go more often. We're actually looking at maybe at some point getting annual passes. And that's kind of going back to what we were saying before about, you know, things opening up. You know, I think what we're going to try to do is, right around, you know, the year that Star Wars opens, we're going to try to do annual passes that year so that we can try to get in on the previews for the annual pass holders.
Oh, nice.
So that we can avoid the chaos that was opening day of Pandora.
Right.
Because I know Star Wars is going to be so much, you know, more longer lines, more crowds, because it's, you know, a much bigger IP.
Right.
But,
you bring us around to I think, a really important topic. And it gets us back to kind of where I started with the intro, which is that, you know, this is a topic that was suggested by a listener. And, I don't think it was suggested in a sarcastic way at all. I think it was asked completely honestly that, well, why don't we do a show about, or for, you know, those people who don't get to go to the parks all the time. Because I think it's true. When we're talking about Disney parks, like we talk about them every week, it does start to sound like, you know, we're in the parks every day. And to be completely blunt about it, from the time we started the podcast, that was one of the things that I was always concerned about, is I think It's true in the fan community in general, because we get excited about it. We love what we're talking about. And so we do try to get back as much as we can. But I never wanted this podcast to turn into a bunch of people talking about an experience that was so different from the experience of everybody else, right? I mean, there's this small group of people that can be in the parks every day, every couple of months. And most of us are really in that category of, you know, we love it, but every 18 months, every 2 years, every 3 years, every 5 years is what we can handle, right? Is what works. And I do think that there are some things that change in your perspective and in the way you approach things when you know you're going to get back next week or you're not going to get back for 18 to 24 months. And so maybe we can talk about a few of those things, about the sorts of things that you think maybe you approach differently because you have this longer gap between trips.
If I could come in on that one, with that one, I think the thing that we have changed a great deal, because we used to be the same, go in and be there for rope drop, and then we would be sort of walking back with a stroller at the night, and all the kids would be asleep in different parts of the stroller and everything. But we found that, as especially myself and Joanne, as we got older, that perhaps that for us wasn't practical to do anymore. You know, we couldn't do 14 days like that, because we would certainly be. So definitely what we now do is we look at the giving ourselves time to think, you know, we can plan things out. And so therefore we can factor in time where we can sort of let's just chill for a morning, or let's do the, we very rarely do the let's go back in midday, because for us that's just waste of time. But quite often now we don't hit the parks until sort of 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon now. But then it gives us time to look at things that we could do instead of. So we look at things like, we can plan in definitely doing a water park in the morning, or we can, we can now look at the new things in Disney Springs. So we can plan in doing that kind of thing there. And also going back to the meals as well, what we found is we only plan for about half of the meals, just so that we can do a bit of spontaneous stuff when we do get there. We know we face the gauntlet of the fact being that perhaps a lot of the restaurants we might want to do aren't going to be available. However, the must-dos are the ones that we booked in advance. So I think we definitely now, the time now gives us time to plan and get the best out of it for us now, which isn't going a million miles an hour anymore. It's planning. It gives us time to make sure that we can plan to be quiet at times, and we can plan to be, this sounds daft, but we can plan to be spontaneous.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it does. If you don't plan to be spontaneous, then you do. You get stuck in a groove, and it prevents you from deviating from the plan if you don't set aside time where you say, hey, this is time that we're not going to plan. This is time we're leaving open to deviate.
And for us, I think that's part of the reason we've gone away from that full service dining plan too, is because that seemed to, when we were doing that, it tied us into, okay, we're booked in for this restaurant, so we really need to be in this park. And it really started planning our days. But, you know, after probably the first two or three trips, our planning was, you know, understanding what was going on, what shows were, when the shows were, what time the shows were at, what the hours were of the park. And then it was like, okay, we know we want to start the day in this park, and then we're going to go for wherever after that. And then that night in the hotel room, it was like, okay, where are we going to go tomorrow morning? Or what do we want to make sure to do tomorrow? So you know, you've got the shell of a plan, or we do, but then there's that, you know, kind of, well, we can change it or do what we want to do and move around by only using, say, the quick service dining plan as opposed to the full service dining plan. But the other thing I think that comes into this planning piece, especially if you go back, I guess, to what the topic was, how do you plan when you're taking trips, or your trips are further apart, is there's difference. I think people are going to look at it differently. If we're talking about people like ourselves, who not only have taken a lot of trips to the park and are very interested in taking trips to the park, but still stay active in what's going on in those parks and with Disney through things like This Dad's and This Board's and those other places, you stay on top a lot of what's going on. But a person that's maybe only done one trip, or they're doing their first trip, and said, okay, you know, we did a trip 10 years ago, when our, you know, kids were five, and now they're almost through their teens, so we want to go back. The planning process becomes quite a bit different, because one, you maybe don't know about the resources that are available online. I know when we took our first trip, we had no clue about advanced dining reservations, and luckily it didn't really impact us too much. But you know, we bought park tickets, booked plane tickets, booked a resort, and went. And that was basically our planning for our first trip. After that, it became obsessive. For about three or four trips, I had spreadsheets that you wouldn't believe, even locations of where we could get autographs of characters on spreadsheets. So that's how obsessive the planning got for some of these trips beforehand. But like I say, now it's not that way at all. It's more about, okay, here's what's there, what's changed, what are the hours, and let's go.
Sure, sure. For me, it's even, I think, you know, there are some simple things. I know, for example, that, you know, if I'm only going to be back in the parks, and I'm not going to be back for what's probably going to be, you know, 18 months, 24 months, I'm much more likely to spend the extra money on park hoppers. Because, you know, all it took was once when, it's long enough ago now that I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but there was an attraction that, I know what it was. It was Training Academy. My kids are huge Star Wars fans. They love Jedi Training Academy. And we had a situation where, you know, usually it's afternoon rain, so we're always signing up for the earliest Jedi training we can do. But it was an early rainstorm that day. And if the stage is wet, there's no show. And I had a kid who was crushed because he wanted to do Training Academy. And we didn't have park hoppers that trip. And so we were finding ourselves stuck with, okay, we can, you know, totally change our plans, trash another day, because we'd have to use a second admission at Hollywood Studios that we hadn't been planning on doing. Or, you know, the kid misses out on what was his one must do for the whole trip. And I decided at that point, it's like, no, we're not going to do this again. If it's going to be that long between trips, we need to have the flexibility to go back and take care of that one thing. Cause it happens. Rides go down, you know, weather happens. And so if I know I'm coming back again in 4 months, in 6 months, you know what? If we miss something, we miss something. We'll catch it when we get back. But I think I noticed how important it was to have that kind of flexibility when it was a situation where it was going to be a while before we got back.
So we've never done a trip without using park hoppers. So I guess that's a benefit for that type of situation that you just described. So we always have that flexibility of getting back into a park. And I think there's very seldom a trip where I could say that we, you know, spent 10 or 12 hours in one park, or even, you know, in the park resort break and back to the park. It's usually we're in one park, and then if we do make it back to the resort, we're somewhere else for the evening. So, but that's simply because of those park hoppers. And that's the one recommendation I think I would make to anybody is spring for the park hopper. It makes your life so much easier when you want to kind of see everything.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was gonna say that I think this last trip was our our first time ever without the park hopper. And I mean, we definitely noticed, kind of a bit of a struggle we definitely missed it. But I think that kind of, I guess, you know, we're a little opposite from you guys, and it could be maybe because, you know, we're so young and all of that, and we're able to handle the long days of go, go, go. But I think that's kind of why we do that, especially if we don't have the park hopper. We just weren't able to fit it into the budget this trip. But I think our touring style helped us to be able to kind of like hit everything that we want to hit, because when, you know, I think if we were, you know, able to go much more often, like if we're able to go every couple of months or whatever, you know, then, you know, it's no big deal if we're only in the park for a few hours and then we're out. But, you know, when it's a year or more that in between trips, we want to definitely maximize our time. Like we've been missing it for so long, and we know that like when we get back home, it's going to be, you know, so long again before we get back. So we definitely want to get in as much time as we can in the parks. And I think that's, you know, especially when we're only going for a few days, you know, I think we had like 4 or 5 day tickets, no park hopper. So it's like, you know, we really needed to get every minute in the park counted. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it makes it hard to do things like take a break, right? You can't make yourself do it because you feel like you're going to miss something by, you know, wasting the hours that you wanted to be in the parks on attractions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's kind of that, but I mean, like I said before, I think, I mean, we definitely, we plan,
you guys are
we
judge talk abundance, about, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. Well, we talk about it. We plan to do it, but then when it comes around the time to like, oh, hey, should we head back? You know what? No, because this only has a 20-minute wait. So let's get into that line, you know. And then by the time you're done with that, then it's like, okay, well, this one only has a 10-minute wait. Let's go hit that. And then you do that, and then it's like, okay, well, our ADR is in 20 minutes, so we can't go anywhere now.
All right. So, Paul, it sounded like you had something you wanted to add there.
It was just along the fact that the way that the tickets work again in the UK is all our tickets come with park hopper. We don't have a park hopper add-on, as it were, because they all come with that included.
Okay. They're all by default the park hoppers.
Yeah, exactly. All park hoppers, and they all come with everything. So they all come with the water parks and the Disney Quest and everything else. But I couldn't imagine myself personally, for us, I couldn't imagine not being able to, you know, change your idea of what you want to do just because of things do change and things can get cancelled down. And we always like to end the day with a firework from somewhere. So even when our day before, because we've not been since Animal Kingdom opened at night, but even if we had an Animal Kingdom night a day, then we would always go from Animal Kingdom and then head on over to Epcot or head on over to Magic Kingdom, you know, to watch the fireworks there at the end of the day kind of thing. So if there's one recommendation to anybody that doesn't have the automatic add-on like we get here, would be 100% go for the park hopper, on the back of the fact being that however far out you plan, things can change at the drop of a hat, and it just gives you that advantage that you can go with the flow.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that's a good, you know, example of the things that become more important when there's more time between trips. Mm-hmm. Anything that gives you more flexibility is a bonus. At least that would be my biggest, you know, take on all of that. All right. Well, let's kind of try and wrap up a little bit and just maybe each, you know, share your best long range planning tip. You know, the best suggestion you can make for somebody who is looking, you know, farther down the road, about the trip, maybe from the perspective of, you know, what kind of things would you prioritize if it looks like your next trip is going to be, you know, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, for whatever reason?
So I would say that, you know, when it comes to like prioritization, I would say, you know, get with the family, figure out what everybody enjoys most, and that should be the priority. So if, you know, everybody enjoys, you know, everybody wants to ride Rock and Roller Coaster, or everybody has to ride, you know, Space Mountain or something like that, then you definitely want to hit everybody's favorites. And then from there, kind of, you know, have a little flexibility to, you know, hit whatever else you can get to. But definitely you got to hit the favorites, because one, you know, if it's going to be a while till you get back, you don't know if on your next trip, if it's going to be down for maintenance. You know, they do refurbishments. So, you know, you never know if, you know, when you do finally get back again, is your only opportunity going to be when, you know, Space Mountain is down for refurbishment? Or two, what happens if they announce in the 2 years between your trips that, hey, guess what? You know what? Space Mountain's going to be demolished for whatever reason. You know, you never know what they're going to do. So you definitely got to hit the favorites. And then from there, just be flexible with everything else.
Okay. So Josh's big advice is, you know, work ahead for priorities and then be flexible. How about, what about you, Darcy?
This is actually a tough question, but what Josh said definitely I would concur with that you need to, whether it's your, I guess your first trip or your 40th trip, you need to talk about what's the key thing for everybody in the trip. What's the one thing that's going to, they need to do or that they want to see, you know, which show it might be, and make sure that you're taking that into consideration when you're doing your planning. I guess that's really what we did on our trip in March. We all had, especially when it came to making the FastPass reservations, because for me, this was the first time going through the FastPass Plus system. So it came down to, again, okay, well, what rides or what attractions do we need to fast pass, and then going from there and making kind of our shell of our plan around that. For you know, with my wife, it was, well, I haven't been to see the Beauty and the Beast show for a long time, so I want to make sure we have some time to do that. And, okay, so if we're going to be at Hollywood Studios that day, make sure we get a couple of fast passes for well, there was only, I think, three attractions that you could really ride in March anyway. So, but that priority piece is a big thing, and it'll go back to what I said before and what Paul said is that park hopper piece, I think, is a key. Again, whether it's your first trip or your 40th trip, they just give you that much flexibility while you're there. It's incredible. We had a trip where we did a couple days before a cruise at Christmas time, and on Boxing Day, my son and I did three parks in that day simply because of park hoppers. And we were only there, we only had really two park days, but we bought the park hoppers simply so that fact that we only had 2 days.
Right. Having to leverage the most you could out of them.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Paul? What's your best long-term trip advice?
I think, to be honest with you, I think my best term long trip advice that I've learned now is perhaps to be willing to change. Like we've said, make those priority bookings, those dinings if you want them, those fast passes when they come along for certain rides, etc. But leave things so that you are not literally down to minute by minute where you're going to be, what you're going to do. Leave time to be able to breathe. Leave time to be able to say, right, what do we do now? Because the excitement of being able to turn around and say, do you know, let's do this today. We perhaps wouldn't have done that normally. We wouldn't have thought about this. But, you know, people have talked about it last couple of weeks on the Diz Dads and things like that. So let's go ahead and let's get that done. So plan to not plan everything.
Like that. That's plan a good to not one. Plan everything. And I think the one thing that I would add to what everybody else has said so far is, you know, what I would suggest is do everything you can to get the best benefit out of the fact that it's going to be a while. You know, it's no fun to have to wait, but if you're going to have to wait anyway, you know, open a second bank account, right? Who cares about interest? Don't worry about interest. You're getting 1% anyway, right? Why do you care? Open a separate bank account and put, you know, $5 a week in there and just let that become the vacation fund. Because if it's going to be 3 years, you know what? That money adds up. And either it means that when life happens, you don't have to cut back. Or maybe it means that everything you've been planning has gone along great. And so now you've got, you know, bonus and you can do something else extra. Either way, you can leverage the fact that you had to wait. And maybe it makes it not as difficult, right? It makes it maybe not quite so hard because you're going to give yourself some benefit, some tangible benefit from having waited. And then you can really kind of celebrate that, you know, you did something productive with the time while you're waiting. And then get to do all these things that you're wanting to do and planning on.
Definitely set up a fund. Definitely set up a fund.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're available for the Canadian and UK folks. Maybe Canada can play, but for US folks, they've got Disney vacation accounts now. You're not getting any huge benefit from a Disney vacation account. Basically, it's like any other vacation club account where, you know, it's a savings account. You don't make interest on it. It just kind of sits there in a you know, segregated way so that it's there available for your use. But they do give you a little bonus. I think it's like you get a $20 gift card for every $1,000 you save, something like that. So you do get a little kickback for yourself, some benefit from it. And, you know, if your bank isn't the easiest to work with to set up those kinds of accounts, because not all of them are, it's really easy to do. And you can do them automatically. They're worth looking at.
Haven't heard of them here in Canada. That's
for yeah. Sure. I mean, with banking regulation, it wouldn't surprise me if they're only available to U.S. people. Although they haven't really promoted them a lot. You know, they rolled them out probably 2 years ago, maybe three, as a test project, and then finally, you know, they seem well established now. I mean, for a while there, you'd call in to try and use one to make a payment, and the cast members didn't know how to handle it. just because it was so unusual. But you know, I think they've come a long way since then and everybody's a little more comfortable working with them. And like I said, it's not a big deal, but it's a nice little bonus. It's a nice little sort of, you know, easy way to save because it can be done automatically. You can set it up to do it, you know, so that you don't even think about it. All right. Well, you know, you heard our thoughts on planning for and preparing for a Walt Disney World vacation when you've got a long time between trips. We'd love to hear the kinds of thoughts that you have. What do you do to build the anticipation between trips? We didn't even get into that part. To prepare for that trip and to maybe make the time go a little faster between trips. We'd love your feedback on that. You can email it to us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com, and share your tips there. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Darcy McKillop.
Night all.
Josh Schusterman.
Go eat at Tangerine Cafe.
Oh, good one.
And Paul Lawson.
Good morning, everybody. Time for breakfast.
And our outro music you're listening to right now is Whiskey on the Mississippi by Kevin MacLeod of incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by attribution.
thank you very much. I'm going back to bed now. More, I think we could have said, I think this definitely warrants a part two.